This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Second vaccination, kid. Today was the day. Walked in the Walmart neighborhood market on Michigan Avenue in Indianapolis. And waited in line for about 20 minutes. Got up, same dude that gave me my first shot, which I was very pleased about because I didn't have any arm pain at all after my first one. And I barely felt the needle go in my arm while I was doing it. And again, same thing here. So what I'm hoping for is no arm soreness and really no symptoms at all, because I do have a theory that I just can't get coronavirus.
Okay.
I've been around it a lot. I've been in contact with people who had it and had to quarantine myself. Nitch never got it.
Knocking on wood over here.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if I'm just, I do have O positive blood type. They say that makes it harder for you to get
anything.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. If I don't get any symptoms from this shot, then I am convinced that I was immune all along and that somebody needs to test me for future
purposes.
Maybe
you could be the future vaccine. Hey, this is for you,
Todd. I could be the cure.
This is for you being the cure. Crack open a little Yingling right there. Fresh out the refrigerator. It's just such a classic taste. It's so smooth going in.
If I become the cure for coronavirus, then I'm going to get pretty famous. I feel like I'm going to really be able to put some asses in seats at comedy shows.
Let me ask you this, though. We got to have it on the record now after you blow up. Are you still going to keep doing this podcast or?
Yes. Well, our podcast will be gigantic, bro, because
I don't know if you got too big for it. You might have a bunch of stuff going around meeting world leaders and whatnot, maybe going up into space with Elon Musk just to like a tour. I don't know.
We'll rename it to The Cure and Sean for sure.
Yeah,
because I'm only going by the name The Cure.
Yeah.
It's called me The Cure.
And it's going to be so big that the actual band The Cure is almost going to be
like 20th page on a Google search.
The Cure.
Yeah. It's, you know, we got The Rock and The Cure. Like, I feel like it's going to be
It's a chosen one type situation, I feel like.
Yeah.
And sometimes the chosen one isn't chosen until he's 50. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm Blade for the coronavirus. You take my blood, you cure, you know, take his blood, you can cure vampirism. Yeah. Take mine, you can cure coronavirus.
And probably, who knows, a plethora of other situations might be curbed with your blood type and your actual Todd McComas blood.
Who knows what diseases I'm immune to, because the fact that I've never gotten a sexually transmitted disease in my life speaks volumes, because condoms,
and I'll tell you what, those three girls even couldn't even believe it. You know what I mean?
All three of them will attest. And two of them are ex-wives.
They'll tell you. Yeah. And then that third one was just a little in-betweener.
Right. Never even occurred to me to use a condom. Right in the peak of AIDS. I was swinging. I was raw dogging during AIDS, dude. During the peak.
During when it was real hot out there, when it was like coronavirus, but just only for sex and stuff, but for like a decade.
Yeah. just fucking not even a shit, dude. Until like you ever see that movie, The Perfect Storm, with Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney, and they're fishing. They just keep going further and further out because they, oh, we know the fish are out here, but the storm's coming. They get caught up in that perfect storm, and at the end, they're just like, "Fuck it!" And they just hammer down straight into it, right into that giant. That was me during AIDS. I was just like, "Fuck it!"
Just raw dogging, huh?
Right into it.
How old were you in 1984? You were 14. You were already getting it in.
In 84, I was 13. But AIDS hit when I was.
Someone said you were the first kid that. Someone said you were the first kid in your neighborhood to get a bush.
Yeah. I was
what
always.
What a weight that was, though, with anticipation, huh? Just that weight, like, come on.
Wonder when I got it. You always said that one guy in the locker room that got bushed like in fifth grade. You're like, yeah, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, arm hair? Yeah, armpit hair? What the fuck? Yeah, chimpanzee?
I know. And then I'm over here like, man, just let this first layer break loose, man. Just pop out, bro.
Let's go. I need to be a man now. What did AIDS hit? AIDS is hit by my freshman year of college, probably.
Nah, it was before that. It was early 80s, no?
Yeah, but I mean,
Jarrett. Oh, but
the
you
real
mean like,
peak.
Okay,
because Magic Johnson got it in 90.
Okay, yeah.
92. Yeah,
early 90s, and that was it for hook shots, baby. That baby hook was so nice.
Yeah.
That little runner in the lane. Oh, so pretty. Yeah, Magic Johnson got the HIV.
I think Magic Johnson.
Eazy-E got it too in the early 90s, I think.
Yeah. I think Magic Johnson's the best basketball player of all time.
Wow.
That's just my position.
All right, Jared just popped in.
It started in 81. The most cases in a year was 1997.
Yeah. So it started peaking early mid 90s.
That's when I graduated high school, bro. But it was like, no, we didn't know anybody in our town that even had it.
Yeah.
So we felt like it was so far away. But you were just raw dogging, going ham, bro. Forget about it. The cure is here, friends. What See, but you've I'm only been curing yourself only for the first 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cured yourself for 2 decades of a goddamn deadly coronavirus of the vagina.
What if my job is only like it's $10 million once a month? I show up. They take a bunch of my blood as much as they can without killing me. Mm-hmm. And then I just go home. I come back the next month, and they just use my blood to just make.
Yeah, you're like a factory or a small
serums
factory.
And vaccinations and all this stuff.
And the best part is that it only takes a drop. Mm-hmm. It's like it's so electric. Your blood is that it's just a drop. They don't need a pint. They don't need a jar. They just get a couple of drops. You know what I mean? Like a little eyedropper thingy with the glass piece on it. You know, and the little black top that sucks it up. Just a little bit, even half of one of those. And that shit goes for like a million doses.
And sometimes I'll be charitable and I just go walking around hospitals, you know, where people are dying of various diseases.
Yeah.
And I
just cough on them.
Just bust myself in the nose a little bit, drain a little into those little paper cups, those pill taking cups. And I just give them a little shot. Mm-hmm. Boom. The next day they wake up. Miracle. It's a miracle.
But why not put your blood in, do it the way the Catholic Church does it. You know what I mean? Put your blood in that little container, that little brass container. Mm-hmm. You can have the guy rolling behind you with the incense if you want or whatever and the bells, but you could also just take it and dip your fingers and flick it into the rooms.
Yeah. Blood of Todd.
Yeah.
So you just nod your head. You get the blood of chalice and I wipe it with the napkin and I rotate it for the next person.
Blood of the cure.
Yeah.
This is the blood of the cure. You just fly around doing private events, but you're basically selling your shit for top dollar to all the fat pharmaceutical companies. And you have to spend your security budget alone is going to be at least 15 to 30 mil.
I'm just going to every police officer that I ever worked with that I liked. Come on. You guys are all making $350,000 a year now. Mm-hmm. Just stay around me because I'm the cure. I'm like literally. I would have to have like a full-time beyond Secret Service detail.
That's why I said we're looking at 30 mil. I mean, you're talking aviation, you're talking boats, you're talking foot soldiers, you're talking snipers, you're talking plain clothes, we're talking, you know, 6-wheel, 8-wheel utility vehicles, bulletproof.
People are constantly going to try to kidnap me. Like mastermind villain type people are going to constantly try to kidnap me because they know how much money I'm worth. My blood cures everything. That sucks.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that's a gajillion dollar operation.
Yeah, man. That's when cloning, like, did they clone? Does your blood clone? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to get into some real moral compass shit. Mm-hmm. When's enough enough, Todd? You're going to be fucking drunk love on this cash from your curable ass straight up vaccination type fucking whatever, IPO negative, whatever you said.
They're going to want to breed me out?
Yep.
God, rich women are just going to be like forking over so much money just to have my baby.
You might just want to get like a nice, like a double wide tray, like the ones that like Simon Cowell has on the American Idol set. Uh-huh. One of those 18 wheelers that opens up into like a 2-story apartment.
Yeah, I'll be in my trailer.
You know, right on the tarmac. Right on the tarmac.
Who needs bread? I'm gonna be in my trailer.
Hey, who needs the cure? Come get it. Fucking runway 9.
All the Kardashians are gonna want it.
0281 Echo. 0281 Echo.
Which Kardashian do I pick first? Kourtney. Kourtney for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
It's not even close.
Who's the youngest one? Or not the youngest one, but the original three.
I think that'd be Khloe. I honestly have no clue.
I don't know about Khloe now. She got a Michael Jackson face. She's been doing too much work.
But you know what's even cooler is that I saw in a nightclub, she did the Michael Jackson thing where he had, you know, where they leaned all the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Michael would lean forward, people didn't realize, like everybody busted their face because they thought that was Michael doing it. But it was actually just a special set of shoes that linked into a little thing on the ground in the stage. So that allowed him, he like clipped in.
Well, like you do in racing bike pedals.
Yes, exactly like that. And that's what, you know, she's been doing. So, you know, you have to see the path she's on.
I wonder, did he fake the moonwalk, you think?
No, that's real. Mm. But I will say that's the hardest, easiest move of all time. And I'd never be able to conquer it. And I'm at 43.
Really? I can moonwalk. I can moonwalk.
Really? You can moonwalk?
Oh, fuck yeah.
We're going to have to see a video of that because I want to see Todd. I mean, I'm talking like a clean ass moonwalk, bro.
Well, I can't do it like Michael did it. But, you know, the mechanics are there. You can see it. It looks like I'm gliding.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me order some parachute pants. And then once I get those in from Amazon, we'll bust it out.
The hammer pant really took over the scene. Really just laid down the hammer, dude.
My parents got me my first pair of parachute pants. I was in eighth grade. First week of eighth grade, I wore that one pair every day of the week, the first week. People are making fun of me. I was like, you don't have parachute pants.
Like, bitch, it is hammer time Monday through Friday. I'm here.
Let's go. It's the hammer respect. Pants, different story for sure. But the Michael Jackson parachute pants, 39 zippers on them.
See, I got thrown out there when you said the parachute pants, because Hammer really set that off. I mean, when he did the 360 move, and you can't touch this video with the white background.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pants were maximum Hammer pants. And it was really awesome to watch.
Yeah, he did the fall, and they would do like a parachute because air would get under him.
Yep.
Michael Jackson's were called parachute pants because they look like actual parachute jump uniform pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just liked all the zippers, dude. I had so much shit I could store.
In the 80s, fun fact here. Stand by. The 80s sold more zippers per capita in radio station markets that played Michael Jackson than in any other history in zipper time.
The zipper industry exploded during the Michael Jackson parachute pants era. He had the jacket with all the extra zippers.
Oh.
The parachute pants. I mean,
a lot of times I like to go to thrift stores and other, you know, places like Goodwill. And when I look just for the zipper jackets. And not many people have committed to going through all those 80s pockets. You'll find some drugs in there. I found probably a half a pound of drugs going around searching through old 80s zippers because no one, everybody's too lazy to do it. And there's 500 zippers on each jacket.
Mm.
It's called being thorough. You know what I mean?
They should have made zipper padlocks, and then Michael Jackson would have got in a lot less trouble.
What about the Velcro would have never flown? They don't have the fucking Velcro can't walk into a party like the zipper. The zipper walks in, people look, they whoa, what was that, bro? You know what I mean? It's fucking zip. You know what I mean? Zipper, zips here, bro.
The zipper was the worst part about getting in a schoolyard fight. Because inevitably, one of the two of you would end up with a big zipper burn across your face.
Because the kids would miss when they go for that right jab. You know what I mean? And they come with that, you know, they come with the left jab, following up with that right cross, and then they'd miss, and then the zipper from the jacket would just skim the guy's face. Yeah. That's why people were getting injured a lot back then. And street fight, like if you look at medical records from ER visits during that period of time in the larger markets, you're going to see a lot of people went in there and came out with medical reports showing a zipper rash on their face and cheeks and stuff.
Mm. I wonder why they never made a zipper like that we can put in our skin to access.
Oh,
like let's say you have some reoccurring condition and they got to keep going in for stuff. Like, yes. Oh, you're going to be doing a lot of surgeries down there for the next year. Let's just put a zipper there and we can just unzip it and get back in there.
I think because people start to hide drugs in there and stuff.
Oh, true.
And then they'll let people put stuff in it, you know, like other people's body parts. And now it's just like, now your zipper's going to get stuck open at the bottom and then it's going to fall off the track. And now you're, you know what I mean? I don't think that we're ready to have an accessible port in our body as like a zipper into what's ever wrong.
Right. What if women were born with zippers? And then when they would have babies, they could just unzip it. And then pull the baby out.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Cut the umbilical, zip it back.
Now, when it comes to like a marsupial, do those animals just develop in a pouch or are they birthed and then they just hang out in the pouch?
That's a good question.
I'm pretty sure they're birthed, but I mean, a little part of me wants to really hope that they just kind of grow in the pouch and then one day they just pop out of the head like, hey, guys, it's me.
Just check them out of the pocket.
What's going on out here?
I'm pretty sure they still shit them out and then they just tuck them away in there to keep them warm and hidden.
Yeah.
Thank God, though, that our women aren't marsupials, you know? Like, that would gross me the fuck out. Like,
you know?
I would rub down and I would clip the pouch and I could hear it snap. Like, snaps back.
You don't want that. Because then you can see the real beta, though. I think if you're not an alpha dude, you're a serious beta, like a legit beta. You're just going to be getting free rides all over town in girls' pouches, though.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, that's the equivalent of a woman who bought of a girlfriend that a guy says we don't have to tell everybody about our relationship, but then he allows her to buy him a car on her name.
There would be a whole category of porn fetish dedicated to the pouch. It'd just be pouch porn.
Yeah, pouch fetish. Pouch stuff.
Dudes that like to get naked and lay in your pouch.
Pouch on the couch, bro. A little rumble in the jungle, if you will.
Mm-hmm. There'd be all the ones that like to dress up like babies and wear diapers. Have you seen those freaks? Yeah.
And then guess what? They're going to start doing plastic surgery, making the pouches bigger. Now we got fencing around it. Now it's a pool. You know what I mean?
That was a big problem with kangaroo porn in Australia because, we have the dudes that like to dress up like babies and drink out of the bottle and stuff like that fetish. They have a lot of kangaroos that have baby fetish as well, and the Joey fetish, and they like to hang out in the pouch like the little
Frankie,
Joeys.
And little Frankie fetish. But also, a lot of people don't know this little fun fact, but that the Sydney Opera House is actually a futuristic pouch, but it's like on its side.
Oh, nice.
Like if you look at the design of the Sydney Opera House, now if you stood it up on its butt, like if you took the front part of it or the pointy part and you stood it up, that's like a pouch, but like a futuristic pouch.
Nice. Did you know that baby kangaroos are called Joeys?
Yeah, I sure did. I caught what you said earlier. I just wanted to add to it.
It just popped. I sat there for about 5 minutes trying to, what in the fuck do they call the baby kangaroos? What the fuck do they call the baby? And it hit me at just the right time.
Do you think that puppies, like, let's just say this for the question's purpose. Do you think that, you know, every mammal has a baby, right? And they call them puppies mostly.
Right.
But then there's ones that, like, you know, the Joeys and the whatever. The
kittens. Like,
yeah. And the other guys that they don't get called puppies. Do you think that they think they're better than other baby stuff?
Probably. Are they like the elite? They're like the Navy SEALs of weirdos?
Like, oh, here come puppies. Mm. You know, like you're a bunch of Joeys and kittens and whatever else that's whatever other baby name of an animal that we don't call puppy. They're all hanging out in a group. Like they're in a special school and, oh, here come the puppies. Everybody calm down. It's a fucking
here come
puppy.
The puppies. Hey, where are the puppies? Hey, what do they call baby monkeys?
Good question.
Are they called babies?
We have to batch that one into fucking home base on this one, bro.
Jarrett, we need to know what you call baby monkeys. And if it's just baby monkeys, I'm going to be kind of pissed about it.
It's infant.
Come infant? On. Well, it's the same
they
as us.
Fucking lazy.
They fucking stole that from us.
God damn it, man. That pisses me off that whoever was dealing with monkeys and that was in the English language deciding on the word to represent the little baby freshly born monkey, and they just said infant. You're a pig.
Let's call them infants.
If you're they could be listening to this. If you're the guy who decided what baby monkeys were called and you're listening to this podcast, get off the feed. You're out, kid.
Get
the fuck out of here.
Get out.
You're out.
Wait, because listen, every other animal's got the cool ones, right? They got puppies, kittens, mm-hmm. cat mm-hmm. kitten, dog puppy, kangaroo Joey. Why in the fuck did they give the monkey something cool?
I know. A lot of other animals are mostly puppies.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, listen, again, we don't have to cover this stuff, but we're doing it for you guys. You're the listener.
Listen,
you're the ones yearning for this.
Our Animal Planet National Geographic base is fucking huge. According to our podcast analytics, through Audio Boom, 47% of our listeners also love National Geographic and Animal Planet. And that's why we cover this stuff.
Yeah. And it's not that big of a deal. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes it almost feels like we're in the jungle even when we're not even nowhere near it. Like sometimes I almost feel like I can hear like the running water and the nature of the
Almost
you know,
like
the
you're
Amazon.
In the rainforest. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just because we're connected to nature like that, Todd. You see, like, am I tripping?
I'm going to start a petition.
I fucking feel like there's parrots in my house.
Yeah. I can't ever tell because when we really start dropping wildlife knowledge like that, sometimes I think I hear it too. But I never know if it's real or if it just means I'm really spitting truth right now.
Yeah, I'm waiting for me to like step on something that makes a loud noise because like the rock crumbles into the dirt or whatever.
I'm going to start a petition to change the name of the baby monkey to Monquito.
Oh, Monquito.
For my Latin friends.
Yeah.
Little monkey. Monquito.
Monquito. ¿Qué estás haciendo, güey? Vamos aquí, Monquito. Hijito. Monquito.
I need it in my life. Fucking infant. You don't call an animal. That would be my question. Why do you call an infant monkey? Infant? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, you lazy fucking zoologists.
I mean, it's not like we're the Peruvian jungles. For Christ's sake, dude, I just don't get it, man.
Jesus.
Fuck.
We're in the jungle right now. We should be playing Welcome to the Jungle.
I'm going to be real honest right now. I close my eyes. I'm walking around with a big-ass awesome stick. And I'm fucking watching where I step, friends.
I'm riding one of those rafts built out of logs, you know, and with the big long stick in the middle of the Amazon, just pushing my way through. Every now and then an alligator's head comes up and peeks out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
Tell you what, it's wild out there, man.
Well, we got baby alligators.
They're out there.
Infants?
What's a baby alligator? Look. The little homie croc is what they should be. It's a little homie Crocs over there. I went to Gatorland last time we were in Florida with my lady and her family.
Oh, I ate some gator in New Orleans. What do you call, Jarrett, a baby alligator?
A hatchling.
See? Cool name. Right.
Hatchling.
I like it because it's an egg and it hatches. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed it way before the chicken could because they're chicks.
Yeah.
Alligators have been around longer than chickens because they came from dinosaurs. They basically are dinosaurs. So
this episode is brought to you by PBS, Public Broadcast System.
Boom, boom, boom.
Sipping a little Yingling. I'm working on my. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I think I don't know if I mentioned this in our meeting. I think I did though. I'm pretty sure I did. But
okay,
the trailer gating. Trailer gate, bro.
Trailer gate.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting it up.
Mm-hmm. I already been looking at some drawings. I've been
let
drawing.
Let people know what it is. So you're designing your own tailgate experience for the Annapolis Motor Speedway during race week because we're doing some content for Inside Tailgating.
At the ACL.
And the ACL.
Yeah.
But that part right there is your tailgate experience that you're designing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's some other reasoning going on behind here. I don't want to crack too much loose.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm working on some signage today. Working on trailer outfitting, how to make this look like a dope ass little set. You know, and also just really trying to focus on what I'm, you know, where I am in my cornhole life. You know, like we got tailgate season's upon us. Are you gonna work your skill set out? Are you gonna be ordering bags? Are you gonna be throwing bags? Are you warming up? Are you gearing up for the season? You don't fucking walk in cold, bro. It's called mini camp, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Be ready.
You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
That's what I was saying. I washed my new bags, my Game Changers.
Oh, yeah.
Looked at them, bought them full price from the ACL. Didn't notice they were stamped with a specific event. I didn't like that.
Let's see it.
They're from Windhaven, Florida.
Lucky, you were there, brother. You were there, brother.
No, but I don't want my bag stamped with an event with a year on it. I just want Game Changers. I paid Game Changer price.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means they were leftovers from another event. I just wanted regular Game Changers. I feel like I've been taken there a little bit. Marquette, too. He bought the same bags, different color.
Wait. The ones at the event when we were in Vegas?
Yeah, they like made a line of them for that event. And they had some leftovers, pawned them off on your old boy and Marquette. Motherfuckers.
Fuck it, though. That was Winter Haven. It was a classic event. It was our first one ever we worked.
They still throw the same. That's true. Yeah. That's our first ever event. It's a little keepsake now.
Yeah, now it's a keepsake. Look at that. With a fucking, look at the flick of the wrist. You know what I mean, dude? Mm-hmm. Little quick flip, man. Little flippy. Flip skips.
I was, I listened today. I got on the ACL app because I'm a member and everybody should be. It's, you can get it on your smart TV. Uh-huh. And I was watching one of the streams where it was, where I was commentating with Rob.
Uh-huh.
Fuck, dude. I'm not like the sound of my voice in that thing.
You don't?
they got to fix something. It's very, it's like very hot mic.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's on Jeff, bro. That's our producer.
I was going to talk to him about it.
We're fucking pulling him aside. Listen, you got Todd sounding like a high-pitched fucking Eric over here.
I was like gravelly, like, rah, 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 rah. And you can hear me breathing. Mm-hmm. And there'd be a little whistle sometimes from my nose.
Like that. Just like
hot mic. But I did have some very funny moments.
That was just Todd's nose.
But I love calling those games. I saw a couple comments under it. They're like, get these guys. And it was me and Rob. I'm like, fucking Rob's a pro. What are you talking about? But they're like, get these guys off there and get somebody who knows something about cornhole commentating.
It's like, hey, eat a bowl of shit, Rick.
I ain't supposed to know the ins and outs, bro. I feel like that's more on Rob. But hey, we were having fun, you know? It was a great match, but.
I know, dude.
I get it.
It's gettable, but listen, here's the deal. Get off Todd's nuts. That's funny as shit, bro.
Yeah. They just went two Trey Riders up there, I guess. Well, there are no two Trey Riders, by the way.
No, there are not two Trey Riders. Sorry, not sorry.
Right.
I will say this, though. For the trailer gate, I'm bringing my butcher block. I'm bringing my I do have a charcoal grill on my truck at all times. It's covered under a tarp. I don't have to get ready because I stay ready. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring my box.
I keep it hot all the time, too. It's always got hot coals in it.
Always, dude. Always.
Every four hours, you're going out. And
every 4 hours.
Getting the hot again.
Fresh hot coals every four. Around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be taking that grill. I got to get a little table set up. I think I'm going to get I need some side of like cloth that comes over with my logo on the side, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'll have my tailgate cook box.
Oh yeah.
I might
even gonna lose their minds.
My grill dresser, dude.
You got a grill dresser. You got to keep oven. You don't keep oven mitts in one drawer. Different tools in every drawer.
Yep, I'm gonna have. I mean, listen, I'm gonna have room. You're gonna have room in there.
Spray bottle.
Oh. You know, there's going to be a drawer dedicated to smoker. The smoker. I'll say this. After smoking meats on the Traeger, love my Traeger, but the pellet just doesn't form a same kind of smoke that you're going to get from some serious wood.
There's no substitute for hot coals and really hot ambers, just hot wood, period. And cook. That's how originally, as human beings, we cooked our meat.
Yes. And when I have my own backyard, obviously, the back fence is just, it's out. Like, it's all me. You know, I'm taking the fence. I'm going to have like a pit where I can like bury shit and cook it. I'm going to have a fire. I mean, it's going to be like a goddamn. I don't know. It's just all the different ways to cook meats. I'm going to have it available. Mm. I'm going to have I'm making a smoke well. They did it on Chef's Table barbecue. That's why they call it barbacoa, because they would steam it overnight with the banana leaves and shit, but in this well, and they would cover it with a lid and mud, dirt and stuff. Not just mud, but like.
Nice. I'm going to make a wishing well. So all my wishes come true.
Well, yeah. And guess what else I'm going to do? When I have a wishing well, I come to your house, I'm going to fucking leave, you know, a couple of sleeves of dimes. You know what I mean?
I'll make a lot of money on pennies.
Yeah. You're going to sell dimes for fucking quarter, Todd. Mm-hmm. People are going to come over. They don't want to throw in the wishing well. Guess what? They don't have any nickels or dimes. But guess who has dimes? Todd McComas has dimes.
You want your wish come true or not? It's 10 wishes.
That's a dollar. No, you're selling dimes for a dollar. That's it.
I'll get 15 wishes for a dime. That's 15 for 10.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Complain that your wish cost a dollar? You a pig? Get off our feed.
The same when you were a kid, you could just throw a penny in there and get a wish granted. What the fuck? A penny? You think a penny is gonna make anything come true for you?
It's dimes only, kid. Dimes only.
The only wish that a penny can solve is getting you out of a DUI. You put it in your mouth, blowing the breathalyzer.
The old .0000 have a good night, sir. Move,
which that doesn't work, by the way. But
yes. I've had like 10 to 15 pennies in my mouth, hoping to Christ that somehow it worked out that I'm sucking on about a good half ounce of fucking copper here. I just chipped a tooth, but at least I don't got a DUI.
My head is a battery right now. I can charge your car.
I just picked up a fucking channel. I'm fucking blaring Fox News out of my asshole right now.
You need your car jumped, officer, here. And you grab the cables your mouth.
I fucking worked for AAA for 2 weeks. I used to bite down on the batteries on the positive side. Start cars up.
Copperhead Row, motherfucker.
Yeah, hello. I popped the hood. And then I fucking bite down on the positive side. All right, give her a go. Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good night. And I wouldn't be, and I wasn't the AAA driver that would say, "Ooh, you don't match the name on the card." Fuck off, Randy. It's got 3 fixes a year. Just do what it's told and hook it up, bro. Don't be the hard old AAA guy.
I hate the hard old AAA guy. I came across one once.
Most of them are good, though.
The one that came out, and it wasn't my car. It was A lady I was with, she called him. Comes out probably 2 hours after he was called. Shitty. It was late at night. He's shitty. And I'm like, I get it, bro, but also your job. Like, you, it says AAA on your shirt. So you're driving the AAA tow truck right now. So pretty sure this is what you do for a living. I didn't say that because I didn't want him to fucking halfway hook up her car so it falls off at some point on the way home. Yeah. But
the old fucking one wheel stunt, they call it back there. Mm. Guys in the know, the old one wheel stunt. You only fucking latch one wheel up and then the car goes bonkers out back and then fucks up your powertrain. And then guess what? You're on year 11. It was only a 10-year powertrain warranty. And guess who's butt fucked? You. Guess who isn't? Randy with AAA.
You know what we're going to need? For both of us have trucks. We don't have winches. Why do we not have cable winches? Because what if one of us falls down into a cave or to a mine shaft?
I'm Googling winches right now, how much they cost.
Bro, we got to get that. If one of us falls down a mine shaft while we're just out exploring and then we don't have that, somebody has to call AAA to come out and do it. And then that guy's going to be really pissed off.
Wench for a Tundra. I'm looking at 400 here with install. 700 for the beast.
People don't think about that enough. Like, a lot of people fall in old mine shafts. So
yeah, people are falling in mine shafts, bro.
Like crazy. And so many people have pickup trucks and don't have cable winches on the front. And you need to have it pro. It needs to be able to pull 350 pounds.
Not anymore. Because guess what? You don't have a fucking wench.
I know.
I used to know a really strong dude, and his name was Wench, because he actually had a wench on his fanny. It's a fanny pack, like, set up. Mm-hmm. But then he would pull cars off of cliffs and stuff. Oh, he had a really good low. He had a real low gravity, a real low center of gravity.
Yeah. Nice.
Sometimes words feel like a like fire plug. Yo, yeah, bro. He'd dig in. He'll fucking yank a goddamn, a party bus up. That was on. That was empty.
I had a buddy like that. He could fucking deadlift about 4,000 pounds. But he was as wide as he was tall. It's like his legs were all, he only had like, his waist was like a 20, and his pants.
I'll be honest, these fucking wenches, this is people who have wenches. You guys really wanted that wench, bro. A fucking wench.
I'm getting talking, one.
Dude, they're talking high dollar. You might have to get a fucking small personal loan, bro.
I got to have it, dude. I don't know, how else to pull people out of mine shafts.
2014 to 2020 wench for my year. Oh, look at this. The fucking wench bumper. The Fab Four Matrix Series front bumper, dude.
I want the giant one that goes inside the bed of my truck. I'm talking like,
oh, commercial.
Post that thing down. I can like pull a tank with it. Like,
yeah.
Just really slowly move heavy shit.
Yeah, dude. You could probably fucking, if a bridge falls over, you could pull it back up into place with that kind of winch.
I could pull giant pieces of bridge off of people that are trapped below.
Dude, that's wild. You could really start meeting. You might have to give up entertainment just to be a wench guy.
I know. I was going to, right out of high school, my plan for a job was to be a fallen down bridge rescue person. And
I remember that you had talked about that in an earlier episode.
Yeah. And there wasn't enough vacancies. There was only two guys doing it in the whole world. So they're like, neither of them are going to retire anytime soon. So I changed my major in college to criminal justice.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, those kind of fork in the roads always get me. I always reminisce about a good fork in the road, you know?
I love a good fork in the road.
A fork in the road, bro. That's when it's decision time, friends. A lot of you out there right now, you're at a fork in the road. You know?
You got to look at that which fork. Way to go.
Sometimes it's only two. It only might be two prongs.
Do I go that way? I don't know. It's a fork.
Some people have four. There's four prongs. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Now, which way do I go?
I'm so much more confident with just a two-prong fork in the road. It's like, you know what? I always feel like I know I'm taking the right way, even though it might take me 20 years in hindsight to figure out I picked the wrong side of the fork.
Right.
But guess what, though? For the last 20, I fucking thought otherwise. And guess who wins? Me.
I mean, I feel like we stopped worrying about forking the roads when we got GPS systems. Mm-hmm. But for up until that point, it was a big problem for a lot of people.
You know, I'm waiting for the proverbial to have a GPS system.
If we can get proverbial GPS.
Proverbial? I'll never make a wrong turn. That
tells me where to go in life. Like, yes. Hey, I want to be here in life. How do I get there? And it just tells me constantly. How do I get rich? Start going to work and take a left.
Go in and quit immediately. In 2.7 minutes, no, in 2.7 hours, you're going to go in there and quit immediately. And then you need to go do an open mic, kid. You're going to knock over the drum set, but it's just going to be the fucking kick drum to your future.
Mm, we need the proverbial GPS. Damn. That would be sweet. Garmin should be working on that right now.
Dude, I get the littlest of swigs in this bottle.
Oh, is there something floating in that?
No.
Oh, I thought it was floating. A worm. Is that tequila?
No, it's whiskey.
Ah.
It's the last of my Macaulay's Virginia bourbon whiskey, batch 55, dated 9/19/2020.
Listen, this is not an ad read, but I took some 3-Chi gummies earlier.
Oh, yes.
Right before I lied to Jarrett and said I was going to go get a drink of water. Instead, took a little handful of 3-Chi gummies and the watermelon ones.
They're the best candy of all time.
Fuck me. So delicious.
And I haven't got my box yet, bro, you little fuck. Where's my box?
Like 5 minutes ago, it starts kicking in. I'll email Audio Boom immediately because that latest box where they sent us, I can't wait to see what ads come up with that, but it's like half edible. So a bunch of different Rice Krispie treats. It looked like Fruity Pebbles treats in there.
Oh, shit.
Come on.
Come on, guy.
3chi.com/guns blazing.
I'm going to be like this, bro. Let's go. Keep it moving. Flashlight out. Flicking the flashlight. Everybody's in line for the 3chi new snacks.
This really kicked in about 7 minutes ago, and I can tell.
You know it kicks in because.
Huge difference.
That's wild. I haven't got my box yet. I remember the last box we got. I don't know. You had shared with me. You had asked me a question about edibles or something, and then you said, that's my address.
Yes.
But you never told me about 3-Chi, and you didn't tell me anything. Like, initially, I didn't realize that once I gave you my address, you were going to send something, and then I got this box, and I thought it was a bunch of fucking like illegal weed stuff.
You didn't know it was the legal Delta
8? And I was like, well, this guy sent me a bunch of edibles and vape pens. I'm going to get the cops.
Looking around.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh man, I can't do that. Like, oh no. But I was like, obviously it was already there. It was okay. I put it in my dresser. I just didn't even fucking look at it for like 5 days and then it came up. And then I was like, oh, I'm a dummy, bro. These are fucking the legal version of THC, bro. This is at 3-Chi, kid. And that's when I hammered. And then I even thought at the beginning that it was going to be like regular old CBD or something, right? Like
That's why I let my box set forever because it came way before mine came way before the ad read. So I'm like, oh, this is just another box of bullshit CBD products. Like, you know, we've been advertising for years and can't feel nothing.
But then I ate a whole pack. I had like four of them gummies, bro. And I woke up to, I could hear my own heart. Not that it was still the same speed, but I can hear it. Like I was inside of my body, which happens to me when I eat edibles. And I'm like,
whoa,
we fucked around and got some real shit. We actually got some real shit going on here.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I tell it all the time. They send the vapes. The vapes are good too.
I love them.
Cartridge replacement in my pen. Nice.
Just saying, man. Don't be driving around, bro. Just be comfortably numb at the crib. Get, you know what I mean? If you got a truck, get you, start looking for this 12,000 pound Pro Series electric wench. You know, start planning the future, kid.
We're going to have a contest. You can have your car pulled by Sean's wench out of a major crevice.
Out of a huge ditch. Huge ditch.
Huge ditch.
Here's an $800 one. Let's see what this one looks like. Oh, this one's inside. Like, you can't even see the cables and stuff because it's so high tech. It's a $900 wench that it's like almost a full bumper.
Nice.
This thing is nice, dude. It's got the two big old, like, it's almost look like horseshoes that dangle from the front, and then you can fucking link chains.
Oh, yeah,
up
and you pull the chains out. Yeah, tow chains.
That bitch is linked up to the powertrain.
Nice.
The goddamn axle, the chassis. Hello, have you guys, do you guys ever heard that word? It's the word chassis.
It means body. It's your car's body.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a strip club on the west side of Indianapolis called Classy Chassis.
And let me tell you right now, name. If you name a strip club Chassis, there's going to be some very large and low center of gravity type of stuff there. You don't want to be compared to a chassis. That's the thing about it.
No, that kind of indicates to me that we're dealing with some heavy dancing.
A lot of heavy lifting, a lot of heavy everything.
Strong stages. Bigger chairs.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You know, going with the 4x4 brackets, you know, the bigger pieces of wood going across, adding in the extra, you know, stuff under the stage to make it a little stronger. More like, because listen, you're not just having people walk across. You're having an auto show.
Yeah. We're not, you know, doing what I mean? Our
fucking
studs.
Barrett Jackson.
No studs are 12 inches on center. We're going 6 inches on center. We're going to be able to put a hot tub up there or one of our classy chassis dancers.
Yeah. You got a goddamn Cadillac DeVille driving across the stage. You can't let a nice car like that drop down in the wood due to faulty construction because you didn't expect what's in the title. And that's chassis, friends.
Put on your seatbelt, boys.
Yeah. Guess what? Cross your legs, though. Because it's a classy joint. It's classy chassis.
You ever have good food at a strip club? Other than the Myrtle Beach one when we went with Pat, those steak and eggs were amazing.
Yeah.
Other than that, have you ever had good strip club food?
Early 20s, went to one, had a nice little Italian buffet, meatballs, top notch. Top notch.
Really?
Meatball.
I see.
They
I
mixed. They did the whole mixing with the pork. The pork sausage and the ground beef, you know what I mean? With the Parmesan inside, the oregano. They did a nice job with a nice sauce, too.
Why not serve good food if you're going to serve food? It's a strip club. I get it. But, you know, if you're going to be cooking, why not make it good? There used to be a bunch on the west side of Indianapolis. Now, this is back before I was a cop even, so it's back in the day. But, you know, our staple sandwich in Indiana is the breaded tenderloin. But there were several of them. We used to do our lunches there when I was a sign maker. We'd just go to the different strip clubs because every one of them had a good breaded tenderloin, or at least half of them anyway.
I mean, you got to respect that, dude. That's just, that's 100% commitment to the customer, man.
Mm-hmm. Tip me for my dance? No, I wasn't paying attention during your dance. I was eating my tenderloin.
So also, can you come back with some ketchup?
Yeah.
and some tapatio.
Have you ever? I'm not gonna ask you this because you have to worry.
Do you guys have Fanta?
I'll ask the question to myself. Todd, have you ever had sex with a stripper?
Go ahead.
Yes, I have, Todd. Yes. Several of them. And never bad.
Well, you don't expect that. I mean, it's more surprising if it is.
Yeah, because you think, like, oh, they move well, you know, they're good dancers. So any good dancer should be good at fucking. Obviously, it's a very similar sport, I would say.
A lot of those same ritual movements, you know.
So always, always good. I don't know, you know, younger guys, tell me if this is still going on. Because, listen, strip clubs used to have good food, too, and now they don't. So I don't know if these strippers are still having sex with guys and being good at it. So.
Or if they're just eating the nice tenderloin sandwich. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys go to strip clubs not even to see women naked, so because they go there and talk to them, and then the girls make them think like they're really listening and giving them advice and shit, and then they start just pouring out their cash, and like, here's my routing number and account number.
Boom.
Go ahead. Have a good time.
That guy has put a lot of kids through college. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I have a friend like that. His paycheck went there every week. Just
let's not forget, you could always go in on a horse, you know?
Yeah.
You and a stripper could always put down 10, 15K a piece, and you guys could buy a racehorse and then you can hide it from your wife.
Oh yeah. We have a guy who has a dad that did that. I don't want there to be strip clubs now, because I think in today's culture we shouldn't have them. They're degrading, whatever. So we should get rid of all them. But back when it was okay and both sides were cool with it, it was a good time. They were a good time.
Oh, that was a nice little PSA there by you.
Thank you.
How satisfying, though, is, you know, just to touch back on the wench before we get out of here. How satisfying is it to show up to an actual position or an actual situation where someone needs a fucking wench, like where a wench saves the day?
You need a wench? Hang on. And then pull up and they're like, oh, my God, he's got a fucking wench.
This guy's got a goddamn 12,000-pound wench. Oh, man, with the fucking horseshoe hooks hanging. Extra chains.
I would go down the side of a mountain with your wench. You could just keep releasing it slowly, and I'll tie it around my waist. Mm-hmm. I'll go down, even though I'm scared of heights, I'll go down the side of a mountain. And then you can pull me back up. I'll walk at that pace, but you'll be pulling me up, so it'll be easy.
But imagine how good that, just to be the guy that when all bets were off, the only thing that could save you guys would be a Warren semi-hidden mounting kit, 103-209. Bumpers.
Wench, it's okay, mount. Guys. I got a hit. I got a winch.
God damn it.
It's cool. What? You got a winch? You're always going to be the coolest guy forever.
Fucking winch, bro. You have a winch on your truck. You're a goddamn savior. You're an angel friend.
You can start at shortstop. That's what all your friends on the softball team would say after they found out you had a winch. You're starting shortstop and you're batting fourth. Doesn't even matter if you earn that spot. You got a winch on your fucking truck.
You got a winch, kid. I saw a dude one time drag a stadium 12 feet to the left with a big time winch.
Mm.
The whole stadium did it nice and slow. The whole place didn't even know it moved.
Nice.
Isn't that wild?
That's real wild. That's a real winch.
Stadium with the people in it, the game going on, the field, the little golf carts, all that. Towel guys. Tons of towels backstage, all that stuff, the locker rooms. Mm-hmm. They pulled it with a winch, the whole stadium, over one block.
You talk about something and becoming useful during the apocalypse. I mean, let's go.
Yeah, a winch. I almost feel, you just made me realize that I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm not going to actually spend this money on to buy a winch. But then I just remembered that we're all full of the Bill Gates fucking explosion pill.
Oh, yeah.
We've all got the vaxy.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a wench, I could save a lot of people. We got your blood. I'm going to hit your blood to cure right away. I'm going to put that in me like you. I'm going to carry around some of your shit, like however they're going to mix your blood into the syringe, and I'm going to carry it around like in Pulp Fiction.
That's
whenever
he
had to fucking revive Marcellus Wallace's lady with that 2-foot knife. Like this, and he went like this. I'm on. All right, I'll do it. Here we go. 3, 2. All right, that didn't go as well as planned, but guys get it.
That's the name of the new podcast, The Cure and the Winch.
Yeah, The Cure and the Winch.
I'm the cure, you're the winch. Just going around fucking saving lives. We'll be the biggest podcast ever. The whole podcast will just be us going out and talking about how we save people's lives.
What I'm going to actually do with my winch, if we hit the number one slot, I'm going to drop my winch down to the charts and fucking pull everybody up, because I don't want to be up here alone.
Nice. Pull up all the other podcasts you like that are down there drowning right now.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking drop my wench down. Because guess what? When I eat, we all eat, friends.
We all eat. We eat. Everybody eat.
Everybody's eating, bro. I'm going to get it. Listen, I'll do it. You guys don't even know me, dude. That's the thing. That's the thing, bro. Todd, you get it.
I get it, bro. That's why I love you.
It's a wench.
This has been a good episode. I feel like we covered a lot of ground and we educated a lot of people.
I'm going to tell you right now, this course ain't for every. Almost, this ain't even a podcast. This is a goddamn course.
It is. You should get college credit.
You should get credit.
This should be worth 3 college credits every semester.
Yeah, and guess what? And guess what? There's going to be a test tomorrow.
Study.
Get ready. Focus. Go back over the notes. Hit the syllabus.
Guys, we will see you next week. Be ready for some outrageous fucking crazy content coming your way from my backyard and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Oh, yes. He just crushed a can.
And it was full.